Today on the show, the tragic death of Marlins pitcher Jose Fernandez. Plus, it could be the biggest event in the history of the UFC as we preview UFC 205. Plus, Les Miles gets fired and the return of our NFL pick segment. It's all coming up on the Sean and Bo Show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome. It's episode 105 of the Sean and Bo Show. I'm Sean O'Donnell. My co-host is Bo Greer. And before we get going, just a reminder, hit us up on iTunes. The show's available on iTunes. While you're there, subscribe to the show. Leave us a comment. It'll help grow the audience. We greatly appreciate that. Bo, what's happening, my man?
Oh, nothing much. Nothing too exciting. Still up to my usual, trying to push this jerky over here. Got to move this weight, Sean.
I'm implementing a new policy. No more jerky talk until I get some in my mouth roof. I need to try it. I can't be letting you do free commercials. I need some product.
Oh, don't worry. You'll be as sick of it as I am. No. I'm so tired of eating it. It's funny. In the beginning, it was cool to have jerky around, but now I'm like, whatever.
Your muscles are slowly dehydrating because you're imbibing so much sodium.
Yeah. It's time to, I need to eat a salad. That's what I'm concentrating.
Wow. Those are shocking words coming from Bo, if you know him. Some tragedy to start off the show. I'm sure everybody's heard about this by now, but the passing of Marlins pitcher Jose Fernandez in a late night boat accident. Him and two of his friends were involved in this crash. They crashed the boat at a high rate of speed into like a big rock jetty. All three of them passed away. Sad stuff. The Marlins honored him when they played the Mets the other night. Everybody had his jersey number, and all the players put their hats in at the pitcher's mound at the end of the game. It was really, really touching. The leadoff batter of the game hit a home run, started bawling at when he got to the dugout. It was cool stuff. It's kind of you know, one of the things about baseball that I like, whether it's seeing how much fans and players care about an all-time great announcer like Vin Scully, or just seeing how teammates care so much when one of their own passes away. Baseball gives us some of these really intimate stories sometimes that you don't necessarily get in other sports. But now there's some more details coming out about his last night. Jose Fernandez apparently got into a fight with his girlfriend and kind of wanted to blow off some steam. So he hit up some of his teammates to see if they wanted to go out on the water with him in his boat. They said no. He ended up getting a couple of his friends together and they went out. Before they went out, though, there was a report that they met at a dockside bar called American Social. And Bo, I don't really want to speculate because this guy did die after all. But, you know, chances are if you go to a bar with your buddies, you're going to consume some alcohol, right? I mean, that's
large amounts.
Yeah, it's not like the craziest thing to think about. And man, I mean, I really don't mean to make light of this, but how many bad things happen to guys when they're quote unquote trying to blow off steam from getting into a fight with their girlfriend or wife or whatever? It happens a lot. Like that can be kind of a dicey emotional state for a man, right?
Best thing that I was ever told, best piece of advice I ever received. If you listen to the show, you know about my trials and tribulations and things I went through. Recently, someone that I spoke to in the clinical form, Sean, said, well, one thing I know about you, Bo, is you do have a temper and you do like horsepower. So I have this method of whenever I get upset, I take the keys to the charger and I put them away and I say that I can't get them until I've calmed down. Because there was a time, I mean, I put a Camaro on its roof. Mm-hmm. When blowing off steam was seeing how fast you could go in your car blowing down the road. And we've all been young, but as we get older, we mature. Hopefully we make it out of that stage of being young and silly. But this is a story for all of the dads, the uncles, the brothers, the friends. You know, time and time again, Sean, we hear the story of the entourage. And we hear where the teams get mad or you know, Jerry Jones is upset because Dez Bryant has so many people around him. There are some individuals in this world that need that. Whether it's the dad that, you know, you think is, oh, he's just there for money or he loves living that life. He needs to be next to that young man because he knows when he blows off steam, he's going to do some of the things his old man did. And maybe he's not as lucky as his dad was.
Yeah.
And I just, I always, when I see a story like this, I don't ever want to blame or say I wish or this or that. But I know there's somebody somewhere, a brother, an uncle, a best friend, or maybe even a father that is thinking tonight, not about the money they lost or the Hall of Fame career, or the World Series or whatever, just thinking about why was I there? What? And I hope that it doesn't come out that, you know, he sent a text message to somebody or he tried to call or reach out. And that person, because, you know, I always say I'm never too tired. Somebody calls me late at night and they need me. I always try and pick up that phone because you never know what that person's going through. You don't know if you're going to be that last lifeline. And it's just a sad, tragic event, and I hope we don't have to go through it again.
And, you know, I'm sure all of our questions are going to get answers when toxicology reports and things of that nature come out. But, you know, I've spent a lot of time on the water in boats, in fishing boats. And it's scary enough when you're on a big lake and nighttime creeps up on you and all of a sudden, you know, you're having a hard time getting your bearings and all that. I can't imagine how much sketchier it would be in the ocean. And, you know, forget the fact that this is a big badass 32-foot fishing boat with, I'm sure, all the bells and whistles and radar and everything like that. But it's not advisable, man. It's like I've been out fishing before, where, you know, we're having a great time and catching fish and, you know, having some beers or whatever out on the water. And before you know it, it's nighttime. And you know, if you're with people that don't necessarily, know their way around a boat and all that stuff, they might not understand the importance of getting the hell off the water when it's dark. If you don't have like super sick lights and, you know, all the gear necessary to be out there at night. If you're catching fish, you're having a good time, you're hanging with your friends. Sometimes, you know, you don't want to go back, but man, it can get real scary real fast in a boat on a big body of water when it's late at night. So all you kids out there, do not mess around with that.
You're right about that. And, you know, one other thing I would like to add, you know, I used to tell high school football players things like this when they're going prom night or something big going on. And you just know the parent who tries to tell their high school student that, oh, don't drink alcohol or don't do that. Listen, you know, you're in high school and it happens. College, it happens. You just need to prepare them for the situation of knowing don't get in the car with the son of a bitch who was falling down on their face and that you're just a dumbass. Don't be a yes man. And I've always said this as I got older, I realized that I got in trouble less often when I was around people who didn't always say yes. And when you're young, and he was still a young man, he's 24 years old.
Yeah.
And with all his money and his success, you know you were surrounded by yes men. And I always try to get that out there. If you have a friend who is like a Jose Fernandez, don't be the friend that wants to, you know, get some more money from him. Be the asshole. Say, we shouldn't be going 60 miles an hour in this boat in the pitch black at night. We're drunk off our ass. Slow down. Let's go home.
Even if you're not, you know, I mean, even if they only, you know, had a beer in them or something like that, it can still go south real quick.
Don't be a yes man. It's a valuable lesson. And I know, you know, their coaches, the GMs, with all the greats and people around the MLB that have probably descended on the Marlins organization, they're getting a lot of speeches like this. But where the speeches need to be had are with the young men, you know, playing high school football that have to go to prom later this year. You know, just don't get in the car because you feel like you need to. You need to speak up and say, you know what, dude, you can't drive. You need to pull over. And it's just, that's all it takes. But sometimes people just, they go along with it.
Yeah.
They go along.
Well, switching gears a little bit, there was a lot of buildup for UFC 205. This is going to be the first UFC event in New York. In fact, it's going to be at Madison Square Garden, and we knew it was going to be a big card, but I don't think anybody suspected this. They had the press conference for this UFC event today, actually, and I mean, without exaggeration, this is the best UFC card I've ever seen in my life. It absolutely blows UFC 200 out of the water. It's going to be amazing. The event takes place November 12th, like I said, at Madison Square Garden. Check out some of these names that are going to be on this card, Bo. Tim Kennedy versus Rashad Evans. You got Frankie Edgar against Jeremy Stephens. You got Miesha Tate on the card. You got Khabib fighting Michael Johnson. You got Cowboy Cerrone on there against Gastelum. You got Chris Weidman against Yoel Romero. Then the real big fights for belts. Those are just the minor fights. Those fights by themselves could headline just about any UFC event, but there's three different belts on the line. You got Joanna Champion against the other Polish lady, Carolina. You got Tyron Woodley facing up against Wonderboy Stephen Thompson. And then the return of the King, Bo, Eddie Alvarez versus Conor McGregor. It's going to be unreal. I mean, this is over a month away. I'm already going to lose sleep in anticipation of this card. I'm definitely making sure I have nothing going on that Saturday night. It's going to be absolutely epic. This is one of those cards that even if you're not the biggest fight fan, you do not want to miss this. There's going to be knockouts. There's going to be great submissions. This card is going to have it all. I can't imagine how much ticket prices are going to be for this thing once it gets close, you know, being the first event at Madison Square Garden for the UFC. I'm sure the celebrities are going to be in full effect. It's going to be awesome. Do not miss that fight, Bo. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, no, I'm not going to miss that fight. And I just got to say kudos to the gentleman at the UFC for finally giving the American people something they want. You know, after suffering through, I'm not even going to say the words, you know what was on TV last night. We all heard about it. I don't care who you think won. They both suck. Forget them.
Oh, the Falcons and the Saints? That's kind of mean.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. The Falcons and the Saints.
I admittedly didn't catch 1 second of that football game. I had to see the car wreck. And that's what it was like. It was like passing a car crash. You just had to look and check it out and see what it's about. I'm not sure that I'll be watching the second or third presidential debate because I have a feeling it's going to be more of the same, but that was an entertainment spectacle right there.
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, when we were in high school and they were telling us that, oh, you guys and your reality TV, you're gonna elect a president that's a reality TV star, and then it's here, and it's a potential thing. I don't know if he's gonna win, but I'm just like, did we really let this happen? Like, guys, are our kids gonna look back on this and say our parents legalized marijuana and Donald Trump became president? This is crazy. But anyway, on a lighter note, Sean.
On a lighter note,
we can be happy about.
Absolutely. Yeah. Giving the people what they want. Yes. Greg Hardy got himself arrested.
Oh, and let me tell you this. Bo Hightower, Albuquerque, New Mexico, was a walk-on at UNM, played football with me there. Guess what I found out he does just the other day?
What's that?
He's a UFC doctor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He has pictures of him in the octagon. And I was just, and as soon as I seen him, and I said, oh, I've seen him before. That's Bo. Yeah. So definitely, I'm going to be trolling him. We got to get him on the show.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. That sounds like a good time right there. I actually saw John Jones and Cowboy Cerrone's striking coach the other day came into my work. That was cool to see. He's kind of a legend in the sport. I was gonna bring up Greg Hardy's arrest here. Let me wait on that for just a minute because I just saw this this breaking news. Ian Rappaport just reported that J.J. Watt re-injured his back. He's going to be out a substantial amount of time, maybe even the entire season, Bo.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a good thing they still have Jadeveon Clowney, right? Because, wow, that's bad, bad news for the Texans.
Blow. That is a blow. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I've always been amongst this school of thought. And it's not just because I'm a 6'3 lineman. tall guys that weigh a lot and move a lot have bad backs and knees, horrible ankles. They never make it. When have they ever been the guys known for longevity? Never.
Yeah, that's true.
In any professional sport, I don't care if you're talking NBA, you're talking MLB, you're talking football, hockey, the biggest guy always has these issues, and they gave him $100+ million.
Yeah, I'm curious if he's out that whole season. Man, I should look up the spread again, because I bet you that line moved for their game this weekend. But I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot about J.J. Watt and his back problems as the week goes on. But yeah, back to Greg Hardy, Bo. He was arrested. He was pulled over, and I know you're going to love this, in his 2010 Dodge Challenger, where he told police that he and his female passenger had just gotten done eating at Applebee's and were headed home. The cops wanted to search the car. Hardy said, okay, sure. They pulled out a Louis Vuitton wallet in the center console, which contained a purple plastic baggie with a white pasty substance, along with several gun range membership cards. That part's not too surprising. And a weed grinder as well. So not a good look. You're already unemployed currently, Greg Hardy. And then this all happens. And, you know, it's one thing to get busted for drugs and to own up for it and say, I made a mistake, even though Greg Hardy has probably made a few too many mistakes in his long career of mistake making for that to fly. But instead of owning it, he said, I have no idea how that got into my wallet. Not only did he deny knowing what it was, but he said that he had been at a party the night before and it passed around his wallet for some reason, and somebody must have slipped it in, because that happens all the damn time, Bo, right? Yeah. People just dropping off free drugs.
Yeah, and, you know, I can't remember the last time that I wasn't at a party and I didn't pass my wallet around and receive free drugs.
Yeah, like, who the hell does that?
It happens all, you know, if you don't go to a party where they put free drugs in your wallet, that's not a party. Golly, come on, America.
He had a picture of a new pile of guns that he had on one of his futons at his house. He wanted to make sure everybody at the party got to see it. So that's why he was passing around.
You know, I'm perplexed at the same time. I'm not surprised. I'm a little disappointed, but I'm also not disappointed because, again, I'm not surprised. And it's just, you have mixed feelings, and you got to understand where I'm coming from with this. Just a few years ago, this young man was leading the NFL in sacks, and, you know, he was going to be J.J. Watt. And to see him not realize his potential and have failure after failure and just arrest after arrest, there becomes a time when you have to say he's done. Johnny Manziel. I mean, this list grows. Did you see the Josh Gordon? We didn't even really talk about that because I believe everybody's tired of talking about Josh Gordon. But there's always something going on with these same guys, and it's just time to part ways.
Yeah.
Move on.
No, I agree. I know you didn't get to hear it, but Jim Rome was talking about Greg Hardy on his radio show this morning. It sounded like this, Bo.
And then a number of you went right through that and right to Greg Hardy. And I laid that out for you last hour. Sean and Bo show tweets. See what happens when you do drugs, kids? You wind up at a freaking Applebee's.
Wow, I think I know those guys, Bo.
Who are those guys? Again, Sean and Bo. I know who Jim Rome is, but oh, wow. Kudos. Way to go there, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. And follow us on Twitter, by the way, at Sean and Bo Show. And you too can read tweets just like Jim Rome does. That was cool, though. I will never get over hearing our podcast name on a national radio show. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, and you know what? That's why you keep plugging away. And even though we only have about 5 to 6 people who listen to the show, thank you for listening.
It might go up to 7 or 8, you know, after that. Big things are happening.
Big things.
Les Miles got canned from LSU. What do you think about that? I mean, LSU, I think they were kind of in a position where they had to make some sort of move, and I think they were probably thinking about this for a while and saw an opportunity, so they pulled the trigger. But wow, that's one of the best coaching gigs, pro or college, in the world, right?
Yeah. Who wouldn't want that job? Could you imagine some of the food that gets dropped off at the facility? The gumbo and the jambalaya and the shrimp, the fried catfish, the gator. Oh, my gosh. Talk about a dream job for a fat man. Plant me at LSU, and I'll be 500 pounds. Good Lord.
I would think that with a job like that, you know, you can't just fire Les Miles and not get another name in that that coaching position. But, you know, some of the names I'm hearing floated around aren't like household coaching names. So it's going to be interesting. You know, do they try to get the right guy, or do they try to get somebody famous?
Well, right now LSU is at a crossroads. They look at Alabama, they look at Ole Miss, they look at Florida, Tennessee, and you have to set your standards based on what's in your division, what's in your league. A lot of people who are outside of sports, whether it be high school, college, professional, they don't understand when you're hired, there's only one thing you're truly hired to do. There's only one thing that the athletic department, the general manager, the owner, or whoever it is can put you up against every season. Because when it comes to statistics, you can't allow unknown variables to come in and call it fair.
Right.
So the only thing that matters in sports is beating those people that are placed in your division. And right now, you look around the SEC, I don't know where you go, because they went, you know, with the run, solid defense, play action, and it worked for a little bit, but then it stopped working because they were losing so many recruits every year to Nick Saban and the machine that's Alabama. They're losing the guy who would have played as a junior to Ole Miss in their spread. You know, Mississippi State emerged. And then one of the biggest things that's really hurt them is all of a sudden, the Raging Cajuns and Louisiana Tech are going to bowl games in football every year.
Mm-hmm.
Baton Rouge needs to think outside the box. If I'm the athletic director, I'm the dean at LSU, what I'm going to do, I'm redoing Death Valley. It's getting a $200 million facelift. Practice facilities, we're doing crazy uniforms. Because right now, you're stale. And even though you've won a few national championships in the past 20 years, these kids nowadays, they don't know who you are. So I don't really blame Les Miles. Les Miles could go anywhere in the country.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is he's still relatively young. Oh, he's not young, but he's not like ancient by coaching standards. So, you know, I'm sure there's going to be teams fawning over themselves to get Les Miles involved in their programs.
Yeah, you heard Clinton Portis say it about Miami. I mean, there's 51 Division I football schools down there. Mm-hmm. Every time you turn around, there's another Florida Atlantic or something coast school playing football on TV in their Division I. So LSU has really been hit by what's gone on there in the past decade. And unfortunately, you know, I'm sorry. I'll go ahead and put it out there. The Cat in the Hat, unless he takes Young Thug and somebody else wearing skinny jeans that can rap with him, he's not going to pull too many of those kids over. I mean, you know, you are competing against Jesus in Nick Saban.
Or
the man
Satan.
Has been called godlike.
Or Satan, depending on who you ask.
Notre Dame fan gets hurt.
Oh, okay. Well, you had to bring it up, so let's change on to that. On the topic of people getting fired, Notre Dame fired their D coordinator after losing to Duke at home. Are you freaking kidding me, Notre Dame? What the hell is going on in South Bend? That's not a game you can lose. Not in the sport of football.
Oh, man.
I think I'm done. I think I'm done for the year. I think I'm going to find something else to do with my Saturdays, maybe get back into fly fishing. But, man, I was just texting my fellow Golden Domer friends, like, are you kidding me? Did that just happen? And we were all just in a complete state of shock. At home, Bo. I mean, not on the road. in South Bend, they lose to Duke.
I said it when I played college football. I wish we got to play Notre Dame. And, you know, fortunately, my university gets to play them in 2019. Can't wait for that game. Notre Dame is not the Lou Holtz era. And unfortunately, the only person who agrees with me is my grandfather. We had a conversation. You remember what happened to, what's his name, Horning? The Four Horsemen? And what are you on the Four Horsemen?
Yeah.
And they ran him off the air, ran him out of the university, because what did he say on live national TV? Do you remember what he said, Sean?
I don't think I was alive, Bo.
You were alive. He said it just a few years ago.
No, I don't remember.
He said, Notre Dame needs to lower their academic standards so we can get some real athletes in here.
Well, that's what Lou Holtz was famous for doing.
Yeah, and so I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there, ladies and gentlemen. Catholic schools in high school, like me, I was Catholic. I had the option when I got to high school to go to a winning powerhouse traditional school, modern day, if I wanted, and play football. But I was so silly that I wanted to hang out with my friends and do bad things, so I stayed here. In high school, the reason we're so used to Catholic schools dominating football is because of the ability to recruit. We all know that. In college, the ability to recruit is evened out by what is now the GPA and academic standards. And unfortunately, out of my high school, a kid who finished third in our class had to go to Purdue for a semester before Notre Dame would accept him.
Yeah.
So you know that that wasn't an option for me, John.
We didn't come here to play school, Bo.
Well, I'm just letting you know, that's what Notre Dame needs to stop doing. If they quit playing school, they might be able to win some football games.
I got to cheer myself up after talking about Notre Dame losing to Duke. I think I'm going to do that by introducing our NFL pick segment. That's right. It's yet again my chance to absolutely destroy Bo as we pick every single NFL game each week, starting this week, Bo. So let's get into it. Let's talk some Thursday night. We got Miami at Cincinnati. Miami pulled off one of the ugliest wins I've seen of the year so far last week. That's not going to happen against Cincinnati. That D is a lot better than what Miami's used to facing. The spread in this one, by the way, is Cincinnati by 7. That sounds about right. I will take the Bengals.
Oh, I'm definitely going to take the Bengals. They are legit, although they are suffering from some injuries. I like what I'm seeing from the defense. Have a lot of confidence in them to get back in contention with everything going on in that division. The Steelers just came off a tough loss. There's nothing like motivation of your division rival losing to get you a win, a much-needed win. They definitely need to win that. Next game coming up, what about Indianapolis and Jacksonville? They are horrible.
And this game's in London, too. That's what we're exporting to other countries, the Colts and the Jags. Yuck.
How do they do that? Like, they managed to send – remember my horrible Cowboys played over there last year?
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen?
You know what it seems like to me? They're pushing for certain teams to build a fan base over there. Like the Jags, I think, have played there just about every single year since they started doing this. I don't know if it's because of the association with the car, which is very popular in England, the Jaguar, with the team. Maybe they're hoping the logo will catch on or something. I don't know. But they're also doing this in Mexico City, where they have kind of the same group of teams playing down there. So that's my only thought for it. But if they really wanted to grow the sport, give them a better quality of product.
Huh. Yeah. Well, there's one thing I do know about our friends on the other side of the pond. They will support a dog as long as there's plenty of ale. I look at Jacksonville and Indianapolis and I say this. This division is just traditionally horrible. So eventually one of these teams will figure out a way to get 6 or 7 or 8 wins, mm-hmm. and they'll still be in the playoff race. I just don't think it's Indianapolis and the Colts. or Indianapolis and the Colts. Andrew Luck and the Colts.
Right.
I've lost faith in Andrew Luck. He's not as accurate as predicted. He hasn't really grown as a signal caller. I don't see Andrew Luck as a guy that can manage thinking two and three plays ahead, making his own calls. I think he needs to be talked to and given a system to follow. He's definitely not Peyton Manning, as a lot of people said he would be.
Sure.
So I'm going to take Jacksonville in this one.
I'm going to agree with you there. I don't have a great reason for taking them, but here's my thinking on the subject. We know football players are kind of creatures of habit, right? And the Jags have played over there several times, so they know the drill. So maybe they're a little bit more comfortable. I mean, you know, that's got to be, you know, a jarring travel experience and being at different facilities and all that. So at least the Jags have had some experience in that whole mess, so that's going to give them the edge. I'm going to pick the Jags too. And really the only thing, good thing about this game is it's on at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. So we get another game to add on to our full day of watching football. So even if it's an ugly game, it's still more football, which is a net positive in the end.
Yeah, get your beer cold. Nice and warm.
That's right. That's right. Maybe make a screwdriver. On the 11 or the 1 o'clock games, rather, Cleveland at Washington. Wow, what a dumpster fire going on over there in Cleveland. If they're not the worst team, you know, maybe the Bears are the worst team in the NFL right now, they're on the short list. Josh McCown's out. RG3 is, of course, out. So it looks like we're going to get old Cody Kessler again at quarterback. I'm surprised that the spread isn't bigger. It opened up with the Redskins -6.5. It's now -8. I am not betting that -8 spread, no way in hell, because the NFL is weird like that. When we count a team totally out, they manage to give their fan base a little bit of hope. But nonetheless, I think the Redskins are going to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be a fool to, number one, take anything. Just keep your money away from a game like this. I mean, anything's possible in the NFL. We all know that. But, you know, betting man or just going off what I've seen, Cleveland is a massive dumpster fire, but they're not the only dumpster fire playing, and they're not the largest one that will be playing this weekend. There will be a bigger one we get to later on.
All right.
Definitely have to take the Redskins. Kirk Cousins showed signs of life. He's a little inaccurate. Gruden has his hands full. I still think he got rid of the wrong quarterback. I mean, Cousins is good, but I think he's a career backup. He's a guy that can be there and win you 2 out of 4 if an RG3 goes down. They were better together, just like Bradford is going to be better with his man out of Louisville. And, oh, my gosh, why can't I think of Teddy Bridgewater? Good Lord. Mm-hmm. Bridgewater definitely has to have a Bradford behind him, because we're going to find out he's frail, just like RG3. But moving on. Next game, I want to talk about this one a lot because my eyes were open. Tennessee and Houston. I just want to move right into that. Tennessee Titans. You remember my parlay that I sent you last week, Sean?
Yeah.
You know, they were the ones that started tipping the scale. I put together this crazy parlay, 7 teams, $25. I think I would have won, what was it, $2,400, Sean, was the parlay. I bet all spreads. And what ends up happening is I'm doing fine in the morning. I'm getting ready to go 4-0, and things were looking really good in the morning. And then Tennessee comes back and beats Detroit last week, if you don't remember. And I'm looking at this game, you know, Tennessee and Houston. And I'm saying, you know, J.J. Watt, you said breaking news, he's out. I'm really disappointed in what happened against the Patriots. But we all know, when you play the Patriots, what does Bill Belichick do time and time out? You know, what's he do all the time, Sean?
Win.
Well, he exposes you. How many times has a team went to play? This happened to my Cowboys. Remember the Cowboys were 5-0? And they played the Patriots like 2 or 3 seasons ago. Yeah, it was 3 seasons ago. No, 2. They went 5-0, played the Patriots, and then they went like 2-4 after that. back their way into the playoffs. Because when you play Belichick, his defense, his offense, they're going to expose all your holes. And then all the coaches, the best thing I learned from a college football coach, you know what he says to us, Sean, in our film rooms? If we see a play that works, we'll write it down, or he'll replay it, and he'll save it. And he would always tell us, guys, I've never been a football genius, but I've been a really good football whore. A lot of people don't know that football is no different than any other business. Whether you're Walmart, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, if your competitor does something that works, just go copy it in the lab and reproduce it and slap a new name on it and ride that thing into this, promised land.
Are you meandering to a pick at any point here, Bo?
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Houston got exposed. And everybody who heard me on this show, I'm really hammering this point home right now. Don't listen to anything I said the first 2 weeks. Houston is a dog. Houston was a pretty dog that just left the groomers. And after about 2 weeks, it started smelling like dog crap. Get away from them. Take Tennessee.
Yeah, that's an easy pick, especially with J.J. Watt not being there. Let's move on. Buffalo at New England. I was wondering where you're going with that. I'm glad I stuck around for that. Buffalo at New England. Buffalo coming off a win. New England coming off an inexplicable Thursday night win with Brissett at quarterback. Brissett and Garoppolo were back practicing today. So that probably means that, unfortunately, we will not see Edelman at quarterback, which I was really freaking hoping for. That would have just been hilarious. So I guess we're going to get Garoppolo probably. And we know Belichick kind of has the Ryan brothers' number. So I see no reason to think that the Patriots won't begin the season without Tom Brady going 4-0. Give me the Pats.
All right. Finally, a little disagreement.
Oh, you're crazy.
This is where I come in as the gambler. This is why I'm the guy you bet on. Because this, Sean, what do we know about the Ryan brothers? They are walking drama.
Oh, my bad.
They are always the ones that pull that one upset every year, and they make you think for 3 weeks that they're a legitimate AFC title contender when they're still a dog. So I'm going to give them this win. This is the one. We'll get all of our Rex Ryan sound bites. Think of all the stupid things he'll say if they win this game. Oh, or should I say when they win this game, take Buffalo.
Yeah, he's going to be running his mouth probably either way. But you're wrong, but that's okay. That's why we do this. go on to that Seattle Jets game, Bo.
Okay. This one here, I don't know what's going on. You know, the New York Jets basically made the Kansas City Chiefs look like an early title contender.
Super Bowl champion Chiefs, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Sean was losing sleep over there because he's already planning the deli spread.
I didn't want that game to end. I was hoping they could, somehow make it to overtime just so we could get 10 interceptions.
Oh, yeah. You really believe that was going to happen? Who was your guy? What was his name? He made my list of silly stats to pay attention to. He got like 3 of his 4 picks in that game.
Marcus Peters?
Yeah, yeah. Come on. I mean, there's a lot of stats in the NFL that you don't have to pay attention to. I always remind people, pay attention to rushing yards, and definitely stay away from things like leading tacklers, because I was always a leading tackler in high school in the state of Indiana because I played for a crappy team. Mm-hmm. That meant that one guy was making a lot of tackles. Just go look at the list and that stuff points it out. But I used to pay attention to interceptions lists. It's just that thanks to Ryan Fitzpatrick, good Lord, he just made your guy an all-pro in one game. But moving on, Seattle, we know that there's tools and pieces in place. They have a system. and they're going to stick to their system, which is defense, run the ball, manage the clock. I have to take Seattle on this one.
I agree with you. Here are some stats that you should consider in terms of just how bad Fitzpatrick was during that Chiefs game. Went 20 for 44, had a passer rating of 18.2, and threw 6 interceptions. That's not a problem you get figured out in 1 week. This game's going to be a rout. The spread is currently Seahawks by -1.5. What the hell? Take their money and run. Bet that spread all day long. Seahawks win. Next game, Carolina at Atlanta. I already told you I watched zero football last night. Cam Newton's probable for this game, as is Matt Ryan. So I think we're going to see both starters there. Vegas seemed to think they opened up the lines, giving the Falcons the old home field advantage spread deficit there. So they seemed to think it was a pretty even game. I think Cam Newton's probably due for a big offensive performance. So I am going to go with the Panthers.
Carolina scores 40 points, but Atlanta scores 43. The one thing that I hold on to every single season, like I said, Sean, I'm a gambler. I'm a degenerate. You know, the priests and the nuns, they pray for me because I don't show up on Sunday because this is what I'm doing. Well, the one thing that I've always known about the NFC South since I was a kid, first becomes last and last becomes first. Every year, like clockwork. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Maybe.
You know the statistic?
I know Super Bowl winning teams don't do too well the next year. Is that what you're talking about?
No, look up the NFC South sometime. When a lot of people don't know this. It's just, like I said, us gamblers know it. Whoever wins the NFC South the next year, like some 78% of the time, finishes dead last the next year. So, if you're Carolina, if you're New Orleans, you're Atlanta, you're a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, you know that that conference literally does like a merry-go-round every single season. And everybody pretty much waits their turn to win the conference the next year. So, right now, Carolina will go back to the bottom. Atlanta will jump up top. Tampa Bay and New Orleans will finish in the middle. And next year, Atlanta will go back to the bottom, and it'll just keep doing a merry-go-round every year.
So you're going to the Falcons there?
Oh, of course.
Okay, this next game I think we can just skip. I'm guessing we both agree on the Lions handling the Bears.
This was the largest dumpster fire I was talking
about. I don't even think we need to give any analysis here. The
there's
Bears,
nothing there.
The Bears are bad. That's our take. So let's move on to the last early game, Bo. Raiders at the Ravens. What you got there?
Oh, I'm definitely taking the Raiders. This is going to be their opportunity to show everybody that they are for real. And all the preseason hype was not just hype. You'll see young teams go through this where they come out and they have a hard time maybe putting together a full game or, really getting back into that groove from last season. Mm-hmm. They are not the Patriots yet. They are not, some of your more experienced teams like the Steelers. Or even Carolina jumps into that now. It's going to take a couple weeks, and they're going to be rusty. But, this is the week. It's time for them to show everybody what they're capable of. Big numbers from Carr if you're playing fantasy.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there. How good are these rookie quarterbacks right now, Bo? It's unreal.
Wow. Dak, Wentz, Simeon.
These guys are balling. I mean, it's impressive. I didn't think we were in for such a rich quarterback class at rookie this year, but here we are.
And that's just a lesson. Like I love football. Baseball gave us that moment last night. I think baseball is full of your field of dream moments. Mm-hmm, yep. Sitting with your dad, sharing some Cracker Jacks. Seeing that once in a lifetime catch type thing, but football, so many times it plays on our politics, it plays on our emotions, our hates, our loves, and it's just funny when these things come around, man. I don't know. I don't know what we do moving forward, but 11-2 from a class, Did you see that statistic? That this class of rookie quarterbacks, the first-year starters, are 11-2, and the only two losses is Dak Prescott with the Giants, and they lost by, you know, was that three?
Yep.
And then the other one was an overtime loss. So these kids could be 12-0. So, you know, life lesson, if I'm sitting back, if I'm young, old, in between, I'm saying to myself, don't sleep on the ugly duckling. Sometimes the thing that's covered in dirt and it looks like crap will be gold. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah, and isn't it crazy that, like, Wentz shouldn't even be playing right now? Like, if things had gone to script, he'd be a backup. Yeah. Like, we wouldn't even be seeing this. So it's unreal. And yeah, speaking of Simeon, brings us to our first afternoon game, Denver at Tampa Bay. Denver kind of flying under the radar in a way. They're not super-duper flashy on offense, but they've got such a great defense that it doesn't really matter. And as a result, they are on the top of a lot of people's power rankings lists. I will take the Broncos. I'd even take that spread, which is currently at 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is a tough one. I will take them, too.
All right.
I just can't stand the donkeys. I'm sorry.
All right, now tell us how badly your boys are going to put the whoop into San Francisco.
Hey, just go back. I wish we could just, you know, we're in a large ESPN or CBS studio, and I could say, dial up my sound bite, and they would just drop it for me. But what did I tell you and everybody else? San Francisco is the team that opens hot in week one, so bet your money on them on week one. Always bet a bunch of money on them. And then after that, they're a dog. Again, my Cowboys will win. You're going to have to put up with my posts on Facebook. You're going to say, Bo, they're playing nobody. Let me enjoy it. I didn't win a lot of football games last year.
No, you didn't.
But, again, Dallas wins this big, and they're brought back down to earth in a couple weeks. Their schedule, Dallas's schedule turns ugly at the end of the year, so get ready for that.
I'm going to agree with you, which might curse your team, so you better hope that's not the case. Dallas wins big. Dak's just good, man. He's really impressing me. I hit you up on Facebook watching that game. I was like, you lucky SOB. This kid is good.
Dude, I just wanted to, like, hang out with my kids and take them fishing. He's just like one of those guys where you're like, I'm pretty sure he would rub off on my children. He just seems, his smile, the whole story about keeping his mom's number so he can leave her messages. And, you know, I love the fact that his, you know, college coach and his wife are sitting there with Jerry Jones. And I just, what's Tony thinking? What, you know, he's had some late nights. I'm pretty sure he's had just as many Miller Lights as me, you know, because he's on his way out. Your time's over with.
Yeah.
It's time to move on, baby. How about them Cowboys?
Yeah. Next afternoon game features the Saints at the Chargers. In terms of my confidence level on my picks, this is one of the least confident games that I'm picking. So don't listen to me when I pick the Chargers to win this. New Orleans, and like I said, I could really see this going either way. They just had a disappointing loss at home against the Falcons. Do they bounce back? Do the Chargers pick up on some of the things the Falcons were able to exploit? Not entirely sure, to be honest with you, but I'm going to go with San Diego.
And again, we start to see the knowledge gap. This is where I show our listeners and our viewers that Bo really knows what he's talking about. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I say don't pay attention to all stats. But Drew Brees is connecting. Drew Brees is dropping dimes. San Diego hasn't really played anybody. I'm sorry, not really trying to offend you, but he has not faced a Hall of Fame quarterback yet. Drew Brees leads the league in fantasy points. They score over 30. They control this game from start to finish. New Orleans wins big on San Diego.
You talk about a knowledge gap. How about a winning gap? How many years have you won this pick'em contest of ours?
Listen, I was handicapped in the beginning. A lot of people.
A lot of people know. A lot of people think you're handicapped now with these picks of yours.
I was dealing from a deficiency problem, and I've got it under control. Now have a lifetime supply of beef jerky, and I'm making better picks now. I'm happy.
That's big of you to admit that, though.
Yes.
Rams at Arizona. Wow, what a disappointing loss for Arizona. This is a team that was a lot of people's Super Bowl pick this year, and they just absolutely got embarrassed last week. I have to think that if they're going to salvage this season, they have to make a statement against the lowly Rams. Games in Arizona, it's a big spread. It's one of the biggest, currently at 8.5. It always makes me nervous once that spread is above 7, so I don't know about that, but I will take the Cardinals to win, Bo.
Yeah, Bruce Arians is firing people. He just got rid of a kid from Portland State that was snapping balls over people's heads and stuff. You know,
he threw away his old Kangol hat and bought a new one.
Yeah, it's serious. So Arizona comes out, handles business. Don't panic, people. If you're a Cardinals fan, just relax. It is still early. There's so much football to be played. Definitely want to take Arizona in this game. Moving on to the next one, I'm going to steal your thunder. We have the Kansas City Chiefs against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sean, I must say, I am very happy with your team this year. I see a lot of things from them that I can be proud of, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not even going to waste a lot of time and bull crap you. KC wins.
Really?
Pittsburgh got exposed.
They did.
I always tell people, like, you know, playing college football, I wasn't even, you know, really shown as much as these guys do in the NFL, but I got to see a glimpse of it. And, you know, my offensive line coach, he coached in the NFL for a little bit. He coached in Wisconsin. He would show us these things. He'd be like, oh, look what they were doing. Once one team figured something out in the run game, the passing game, or the defense, everybody else is going to duplicate it. So it's been shown again that the Steelers can be disrupted, and Kansas City's got a system that's working. They're battling. KC wins this game.
I'm going to agree with you, but I would urge all of our listeners not to listen to me when it comes to picking my own team because, you know, I'm surprised that Bo didn't go for the Steelers because usually me picking my own team is how Bo stays competitive in this whole pick-em matchup. With that said, we might get Jamal Charles back, which is good. But Antonio Brown, man, he is a bad man. It's going to be a nerve-wracking Sunday. I don't like when my team plays in the late game because I just have to sit there all day thinking about it. So I'll be biting my fingernails. But, yeah, I'm going to pick the Chiefs. Why the hell not? And on top of that, I have to say, you know, Marcus Peters, like we discussed earlier, he's a stud and he's getting better and better. He does get beat sometimes big, but that kind of, you know, the announcers were talking about that on the Chiefs broadcast last week. That's just the style of corner he is. He takes big risks. Sometimes that results in, you know, a blown coverage. A lot of times that results in a pick six. So I'm looking for him to have a big, big game. And like I said, Jamal Charles perhaps being back might give the team a significant boost on offense as well. And then we're on to our Monday nighter, the Giants at Minnesota. I see absolutely no reason. You know, we talked about this before. Offenses can be kind of hit and miss depending on the week. If you've got a good defense, that's usually really consistent. And I see no reason to think that the Giants will be able to overcome the great Minnesota defense. So I will take the Vikings in that one.
Yeah, and I heard something today that, it scared me because, as you know, I'm a Cowboys fan and we're playing this division this year. And ultimately, whenever you play a division, you pretty much know who you're going to have to play in the first round of the playoffs because they're either going to beat you and get the bye or you're going to beat them and get the bye. And it's just scary when I heard this statistic on NFL Live. They said 8 of the Minnesota Vikings starters on defense were drafted in the first and second round.
Hmm.
Do you know what that means, Sean?
Tell me.
You know what first and second round in the NFL means? That means you were on top five lists. You were five-star, four-star, three-star, but became a four-star, five-star by the time you came out of college. All-American, Heisman candidates, Lombardi, Thorpe, multiple sport athletes, academic All-American. Dude, the people that go on the first and second round of the NFL draft are unique individuals, intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And they have eight on a defense. These guys probably get together and eat chips and dip and break down offenses for fun. They have let that coach, the GM, the owner, build something in Minnesota that could win two of the next four Super Bowls. Watch out.
They sure do look smart right now, by the way, going for Sam Bradford and trying to salvage the season. They obviously knew something about their team that perhaps the rest of us didn't.
And I didn't know that. I'm not trying to act like a smart guy. Belichick said that on NFL Live. As soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh, my gosh. That's like playing – you don't remember that all-star team you played in high school, and you're like, how did they get all these guys? And you just can't stop that. That's lethal. And they're young.
Yeah. Well, so let's see. I think we had one, two, three games we disagreed on. So that'll be three games that I'm leading by next week, I'm sure. Before we get out of here, Bo, I got to tell you about this story I saw. It was a quiet Tuesday evening at Beggar's Pizza. A delivery driver was about to head out with a pizza delivery, and the owner decided that he was going to let the driver leave early and he was going to take the delivery himself. What he didn't anticipate was that he was delivering to a vacant address and that when he arrived there, he was going to get jumped by three or four guys. What those three or four guys didn't anticipate was that the owner of this Beggar's Pizza was an ex-NFL football player. You remember Napoleon Harris? He played linebacker for the Raiders. He's 6'3", about 250, and the assailants were probably expecting somebody a little bit smaller. So they tried to jump him when he arrived on the porch of this house. It didn't go great. Even though they wound up with his wallet and the pizza, they couldn't really do too much. Like they kind of realized that they couldn't hurt this man, so they took off running. They jumped into a vehicle. Napoleon took off in his vehicle and was able to find them and wait until police showed up, where they all got arrested. So just goes to show you, if you're going to rob a pizza man, make sure he's not a giant human being.
Well, it also gives another life lesson of he who does intel. You gather intel on anything, your rate of success just multiplies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're gonna rob a pizza place, just make sure it's not the pizza place owned by the guy who probably grew up on the streets and played in the league. Come on.
Yeah, it's probably smart advice. Well, that's going to do it for this week of the Sean and Bo Show. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Sean and Bo Show. Check out past episodes, SeanandBoShow.com. And like I said earlier, subscribe on iTunes. Give us a rating and a review. It would help us a lot. So until next week, I'm Sean O'Donnell for my co-host, Bo Greer, reminding you, tip your pizza man.
See you next week.